Chicago's College Tailgate has it all. Now back to the show with Shay and Tyler on ESPN Chicago.
National Championship coming up on Monday, 6:30. You can hear it right here on ESPN Chicago. Also, don't forget to check out the Pick a Side podcast on the ESPN Chicago app under Chicago's College Tailgate, where Shay and myself give you all of our favorite football picks, both NFL and college. So check that out, Pick a Side podcast on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you get your podcast. Just find it on the Chicago's College Tailgate feed. North Carolina has made one of the biggest splashes of the offseason in college football. Bill Belichick, your new head coach of the Tar Heels. But you look through what's taken place in the NFL cycle. Some teams have reached out trying to get Bill out to the NFL. And to me, it seems like there is sort of this tug the other way. You're seeing NFL interest start to grow in Bill Belichick. I do think he is going to coach at UNC this year. I know there's weird language in the contract. He's basically like an NFL player where it's like, what? It's like a June 1st, like post-June 1st type of deal where he can leave at that point and everything kind of lessens in terms of the penalties for him leaving. But I do think Belichick is going to coach at Carolina. He made a couple additions to his staff this week. I think he's going to suit up for UNC.
Yeah, Mike Lombardi came out and said the NFL is not an option, but also Belichick has not signed a binding agreement. He's only signed the terms proposal, which was not legally binding, and the reporting everywhere is that he hasn't signed his contract yet, and there is actually some genuine nervousness that he's a flight risk. Like last week, it was ACC commissioner nervous that Belichick is a flight risk. Now it's contract not signed. And even if it is signed, there's a $10 million buyout pre-June 1 that turns into a $1 million buyout post-June 1 if he's returning to the NFL specifically. Then there was the talk about Tom Brady. Now I'm going to loop in the NFL head coaching rumors because it's something you sent yesterday and it's out there now. Pretty much everywhere, the Bears head coach market got yanked. Yep. You can't bet it anymore.
Nope.
Typically, that's a sign somebody knows something. They don't just yank these. They're flimsy to begin with. If they're pulling it down, somebody knows something. Very interestingly, at the same time, Ben Johnson stopped being the favorite everywhere else. Now, yeah. I'm not reporting that Ben Johnson's the next head coach of the Bears. Just if you're following the betting markets, looks like, feels like, seems like that might be true. Again, I'm not reporting anything. It's just Bears market gets yanked. Ben Johnson no longer the favorite anywhere. Why do I bring that up? Because he was the favorite at the Raider gig.
Yeah, that's flipped.
And we know that Tom Brady had an overture to Bill Belichick at some point this offseason. And Belichick seems like he's interested in returning to the NFL. I think it's one of the more fascinating storylines in college football because we all wanted to see what this would look like. But then everything about it is he's slow playing hiring his assistants. He's only signed, I think, 9 so far. And he's got this massive pool to do it, and he's taking a really long time doing it. Then the wording about the buyout, then the fact he hasn't signed his contract, all mixed in with the fact Ben Johnson to Vegas, based on what Adam Schefter said yesterday, and now what the odds markets are saying, doesn't feel like a fait accompli, and we know there was the overture to Belichick. It's a lot of smoke for there to be no fire.
The one reason why I think Belichick is going to coach at UNC, he's gone out recruiting already. Like he's making his way around the DMV area recruiting. You think he's going to do that if he's not going to coach at UNC? You think he's going to put in the time? We already thought it was going to be pretty sparse from what he was going to do from a recruiting standpoint in the first place. The fact that he's going high school, he's bouncing around high school to high school in Maryland and Virginia and the DC area, to me that screams, all right, he's in this.
Tinfoil hat.
Oh.
who gets the program if Belichick leaves?
I get it. It's his son.
So I think
this would be a great like HBO series.
I think for UNC, like obviously with the way they worded the contract, they knew there was an inherent risk that Belichick's there for a very limited amount of time, bounces for the NFL. I wonder if for the UNC side of this, the administrative side and the football people, the athletic department, is the win that you get an NIL boost, you get donor interest, and you get recruiting bumps from hiring him initially. And then even if he leaves, by the time he leaves, the signing window's closed, and you're set to go for the 2025 season.
It's a dirty game.
It's really dirty. But hey, we just talked about a sport where a university blocked a kid from entering the transfer portal so much so that he had to unenroll and re-enroll at a new university. It's a college football's as dirty as it gets.
I get that. I don't think, even though like the signing window is closed, maybe you see guys just sit out of here.
We didn't sign up to play for Steven. He's got some weird hair and he's licking his lips all the time. We don't want to do this.
I cannot see like that. I think Bill Belichick has too much respect for the sport, for the game in general, to do something like that.
He's also,
if he wasn't going to put his heart into it, he wouldn't do it.
He's also only got so much time left. And maybe the allure of going back to the NFL and working with Tom Brady again outweighs everything else. Or Dallas, where he was apparently interested. Now, Dallas feels like it might be off the table because, boy, are they really going to hire Deion? I mean, you talk about connecting college to pro. Yeah. That got a lot of smoke this week, too.
Yeah. That seems like there's mutual interest, but I still think that's Kellen Moore's job. We'll see. Dallas has become such an odd wrinkle in the NFL hiring cycle. Like, we're talking about maybe the greatest job in the entire sport, maybe in all of sports, has opened up out of nowhere.
Is it that anymore? I heard you with Waddle and Sylvie playing what Aikman had to say about it on Monday Night Football, the playoff game.
It's one man's opinion, albeit a man who knows very well and has vested ties in there. But like,
if they hire Deion, it's not the greatest job anymore. Because if they hire Deion, that's not a football hire. And I'm sorry.
Circus hire.
Deion in the NFL, come on. What's he going to walk into the auditorium for the Dallas Cowboys and tell NFL players, I'm bringing my luggage and it's Louis? Dude, you'll be gone. Gone. All that stuff he does at Colorado, and this is not like me dumping on Deion, that works with college kids.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn you into an NFL player. We're going to get celebrities in here. Here's all the money, the NIL, all this stuff. You go to NFL players who are making professional dollars and who have grinded their asses off to get to the level that they're at, and you start hitting them with that stuff, best of luck to you. God bless.
Well, yeah, you're no longer the highest paid guy in the room anymore. Like, you go to the NFL, especially you go to Dallas, you got three guys. If those three guys are in your locker room next year, it'll mean they're three of the highest paid guys in all football, in CeeDee, Dak, and if Micah Parsons gets his money. Like, it's not going to work like that there. I'm with you. I don't think Deion's going to Dallas. I think that's Kellen Moore. The Jason Witten thing is weird to me. Like, where the hell is that name coming from?
But again,
talk about a Monday Night Football era that just got lost.
Yep.
Jason Witten.
Yep. And again, this is like, people look at these teams, and because Dallas is the most valuable franchise in American sports, they're like, oh, it has to be great. It's a mom and pop shop, man. Jerry runs it like a family business. He runs it the same way the McCaskies run the Bears. He runs it the same way the Maras run the Giants. It's all a family business. And if you don't believe me, look no further than the fact that Dak and CeeDee Lamb had to beg and plead for contract extensions, and Michael Parsons is still unsigned. It's family business. It's mom and pop. We're bringing in Jason Witten or Deion or Kellen Moore. You're not serious.
It feels very collegiate in that sense, where we're only going to hire the people we know, we're familiar with, something of that ilk. Like, I'm intrigued by who they're going to hire, but yeah,
I couldn't believe the idea that it could be Deion Sanders. Yeah. I mean, that's unreal.
I do think like Belichick's probably a better bet there than Deion Sanders. And I think Belichick would have more success there than Deion would, too. But looking at, like, I would not be shocked if Belichick is one and done at UNC. I just don't think he's going to bail on it before he even gets there, before he even coaches a game.
I think for sure he's one and done. If he does, like, he will not go past the 2025 season.
Yeah.
I still have questions if he'll even coach it, if he'll coach a single game there, or if he'll just pass it off to his kid and go back to the league.
I just can't see. I think he respects the sport, the game, every, because if he does that, that's kind of a stain on him. And I don't think he wants that to be one of the final moments of his football coaching legacy. I think people would look at him kind of differently for just bailing on a program. At that point, you're Dan Dockich.
Well, oh, yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. And there's also, like, Potsy brought it up to me in the break. He walked in here and asked if I'd seen it. All the
what
news.
What else did he ask you?
Just relax. All the news about Belichick's contract being unsigned. Do we buy that it's just coincidence that when that broke, his girlfriend took to Instagram and posted a billion photos of herself in North Carolina gear?
I mean, quell the fears. Tame the fan base.
Just
do what you got to do. It's team sport.
It's a lot of smoke for there to be no fire. It really is. It just following the breadcrumbs, it doesn't seem beyond the realm of possibility that Belichick never coaches there.
Would it be the most shocking thing in the world? No. But I if I had to pin a percent, what percent he coaches a game at UNC, I'd put it at like 95.
His own coaching tree did this. Josh McDaniels was coach of the Indianapolis Colts. He was hired. They were about to ink the paperwork. And he said, I'm going to go be the OC in New England again. Sorry, guys. God bless.
That's also probably a little bit of Jim Irsay at work, too.
Do you think that's more Irsay or more McDaniels?
I would guess it's more Irsay.
I don't know.
I would guess it's more Irsay.
I am, like, look, I'm still 90-10, he's going to be okay. The coach at UNC. I'm not 100%, but that 10% is getting larger by the day. Now, they could release news Monday that Belichick has inked his agreement and is confirmed he's going to be at UNC for the entirety of 2025. But the whole thing never made sense. Belichick at North Carolina, it never really added up. So I wonder, with all this, is he actually going to be there?
We'll see. Another college coach that could be making some NFL headways too, Marcus Freeman, head coach at Notre Dame, has done a tremendous job this season, has the Fighting Irish in the national championship, trying to return the program to its glory days, and a lot of smoke there about him and the Chicago Bears. Now, I do want to point this out too. There was a report this morning from Adam Schefter concerning the Bears, saying that the Bears did make an attempt. They did put the call in with the Pittsburgh Steelers trying to trade for Mike Tomlin. For me as a Bears fan, me seeing that and knowing it's in all likelihood not going to be Tomlin, and Schefter even doubled back to say there's a second mystery team out there too that also put a call in with the Steelers trying to see and take the temperature of if they would trade Tomlin. And the Steelers have pretty much put their foot down and said, no, this ain't happening. He's got a no-trade clause in his contract anyway. We're not even going to go there. As a Bears fan, this actually makes me feel good because it feels like they're doing things differently, and they are. It gives me more confidence they are going to do everything in their power to get Ben Johnson. Now, at the end of the day, he may just simply not choose them. He may choose Jacksonville. He may choose the Raiders. But for me, it makes me feel a lot better about the process that they're going through. And I get the list is a Cheesecake Factory menu. But that, to me, is still showing you're putting in homework to try to get some of these guys. And right now, you only have so many hours that you can spend with them in the first place. Why not try to get as many ideas into the building as possible?
And seeing the latest thing with Tomlin, it makes me feel like things are being done a little bit differently and gives me a little bit of confidence.
Yeah, I think it's, look, whether you want Tomlin or not, and I'm not somebody who did, like if he were
especially
available
via trade.
Yeah, if you were available for only money, I would be more interested. But when you have to give up a draft pick, no, not for the performance that he's given out lately. But you want him to pick up the phone. You want the report that they made someone say no. Mm-hmm. That's all you want. Like, as a fan, that's all I can ever ask. What I don't want is the lack of a search and you land on Arthur Smith. They're not doing that.
No.
At least we have that. And even if Ben Johnson does choose Vegas, at least get me a report. Like, if assuming that's the guy, you go through the process and at the end of it, you're like, it's Ben Johnson. He's the guy we want. At least give me the Adam Schefter report that there was a Godfather offer from Vegas and the Bears called and they tried to match and they made Ben Johnson tell them no and he chose Vegas. That's all I can ask for. It's for every sport. It's the same thing with the Cubs and a Juan Soto chase. Don't take yourself out of it, which is what they did. Call him and make him say no.
Yeah.
Then I'm cool. It just, that's all I want. And the Bears are doing that. Mm-hmm. So I never wanted Tomlin, but I'm glad they made the phone call.
Yeah, they put the attempt in there. And I think Marcus Freeman's another way of acting creatively to try to find your next head coach. Now, is Marcus Freeman number one on my list? No. Is he number two or three? Still probably no. You probably have to get to about five or six before I'm interested in Marcus Freeman as the next head coach of the Bears. But it's someone worth having a conversation with, for sure. I get he's a little far removed from the NFL game. He hasn't been in an NFL locker room since, what, 2009? It's been a while for Marcus Freeman. And he has completely kind of sunk his teeth into the college game. But we've seen the leaps happen. We've seen it work successfully. We've seen it work unsuccessfully, too. But this is a guy who's flipped a program, albeit one with plenty of notoriety to it. He's flipped it over the course of a couple of years where he's taken them from a place where their previous head coach said they couldn't get to, and he's gotten there with less talent on the roster. To me, that is a lot of coaching. That is a lot of kids buying into what he's doing. Now, if you believe what Brian Urlacher had to say earlier in the week, that the Bears aren't going to pony up for him, I just don't think that is, I get that's the reputation of the Chicago Bears, but everything that I've seen over the last 3 months now kind of shows me things are changing a little bit. Ever since they fired Eberflus in season, it feels like things have started to change a little bit. How they're going about business, some of the reporting up there that's saying, listen, they're not going to skimp the dollars and cents for getting their next head coach. Money will not be the issue of why they do or don't land somebody. I think that between that, talking to Freeman, seems like maybe things are trending in the right direction with Ben Johnson. That's all encouraging to me as a Bears fan. Now we're just kind of in the wait and see. You're kind of waiting for Detroit to lose at this point or win the Super Bowl. And that's when you'll get more clarity on this situation.
Right now, you think it's Ben Johnson? I do.
I do, too. And I've like kind of ping-ponged back and forth between Ben Johnson and Mike McCarthy as who I think it will be. And I got to say, up until probably Thursday, I was firmly like, oh, it's going to be McCarthy. But now I'm kind of in, I think it's Ben Johnson. I really do.
I've been pretty unwavering on it. I've thought it's Ben Johnson kind of the whole way. And then especially once Sylvie said what he said about, you know, the reasoning for Mike McCarthy taking an in-person interview may not have been that the Bears were trying to court him differently.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy wanted to do it in person.
I've been pretty solid. I think it's Ben Johnson, and the only way it doesn't happen is if Tom Brady just plops down, we're going to pay you $25 million a year. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's fantasy land. Could they do it? Sure. Will they? No. Come on.
Yeah.
He's going to get like $16 million a year max. And if
he does get $25 million, say goodbye to Max Crosby.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like if the Bears want to say that they're not going to let this be about dollars and cents, well, then $16 million a year, you can match that or give him $17. Like if you're not going to make it a question of affordability, and that's the maximum number based on what I've heard. that Ben Johnson from Vegas, he's going to get like a six-year offer in the range of 10 to 16 million. I think it's probably closer to 10 than 16 when all is said and done. If affordability is not going to be a problem for the Bears, then you'll hit that number.
Yeah.
And if he'd rather be here than Vegas, and let's be honest, why wouldn't he? I'm sorry, I don't buy this, the allure of working with Tom Brady. Dude, you have no quarterback. The allure of working with, he's not playing football for you.
You have no quarterback in a division that only has quarterbacks and coaches right now. Like, you're talking about two guys who are established in the league and one guy who looks like he's the next up-and-comer in Bo Nix. Like, versus coming to Chicago, where, A, you're wounding one of the Warriors ahead of you.
Yep.
And on top of that, like, Jordan Love didn't look all that great in this quarterback uncertainty in the other place.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings offseason, I think, is one of the most bizarre uphill battles I've ever seen. You have a 14 win season, and I still come away feeling like their GM ran their team into the ground. Dallas Turner's not what he expected him to be. You've got nothing but free agents on your roster, and you have three draft picks. Two of them are in the fifth round. Best of luck. I don't know how you build that way going forward. You better hope J.J. McCarthy is everything you hoped he was when you drafted him. So otherwise, you're in trouble. The Jordan Love deal, and then your point about wounding the Lions, that's number one for me.
Well, it's not just him. Like, you're going to probably lose both coordinators. And say what you, like, Dan Campbell has been phenomenal, but you know how hard it is to hire coordinators in this league? It's damn near impossible.
And hit
and
on
you,
them?
And you got to go and get two?
And it's not, like, I think you and I are on the same page. We're not saying the Lions are going to drive themselves off a cliff.
No.
They're going to be good. Dan Campbell's wins, really good.
15 wins probably turns to 11 or 12 next year.
Yeah, it's not going to look the same. It won't be the same.
Even if Ben Johnson was back there, 15 wins probably still turns to like 13 or 12.
I'm pretty, like the Marcus Freeman thing, I mean, Adam Schefter kind of put a cannonball through that this week saying he's comfy at Notre Dame, which makes the most sense.
Yeah, like
if you're Marcus Freeman, you've built what you've built, you're not racing to get out of there. It's a good job to begin with. You're going to keep that gig. And I don't think there's any, like Matt Campbell, they can interview him all they want. They're not hiring Matt Campbell. No. If they do, then we've got an issue. Then you're doing things the same way you've always done them.
If Matt Campbell was available in the college market, he's not getting an upper tier Power Four job.
He's not going to Clemson.
No.
You know, like, not that there are openings right now to fill, but the point is,
look, he wouldn't even go to Wisconsin if Wisconsin was open.
I think he could get Wisconsin.
Do you really? Would you rather have Fickell or Matt Campbell?
Well, I'm saying if they fired Fickell, okay. I think Wisconsin would be in play. It's a small step up from Iowa State.
I'm talking, would Wisconsin hire Matt Campbell?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah. He's done great at a program that was dead. Wisconsin should be better than they are. I think you could go there. But the broader point is to go from Iowa State, which was a graveyard and you've made it competitive, to the NFL. No, come on. That's not happening.
No. Now, I'm trying to think, like, are there other spots where obviously there's always been the tie to the Bears. He was drafted by the Bears. Notre Dame to Chicago is obviously a significant pipeline, too, in terms of proximity. But, like, why wouldn't another team come calling? Like, if you're the New York Jets, why wouldn't you take a swing with a guy like Marcus Freeman? Seriously. And I'm not saying Marcus Freeman necessarily makes the leap. He may like the prospects of coaching at Notre Dame more than he does the New York Jets. But that seems like a swing worth trying. If you're the New Orleans Saints, that seems like a swing worth taking for Marcus Freeman.
I think those jobs aren't better than Notre Dame is the problem for me. Like that,
that's fine. He can believe that. You can believe that. But if you're one of those teams, make him say no.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, the Jets, I think, look, they're operating knowing who's going to say no to them, rather. They didn't even request an interview with Ben Johnson. They knew they had no chance. He was going to tell them no. Like, they're not going to waste their time. They're in a really tough spot. I don't even think they'd bother. The Saints make sense. Like, I'd call them. I'd say, you've got Loomis money. You've spent through the nose. You kind of have pieces defensively in place. You could make things happen, maybe. You'd call him. Dallas, I think you'd call him.
You know, I'm looking at the Dallas odds here. I don't see Marcus Freeman on here.
Yeah, because if they hire a college coach, they're hiring Dion.
Well, some of the college names on here are pretty funny.
Matt Campbell's on that list.
Matt Campbell, Lincoln Riley.
Yep.
Nick Saban.
Okay.
Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin, Kurt Cignetti.
Come on.
That one got me.
Please hire Cignetti. Lane. Please hire Lane. People don't understand. There's leagues. It's not even about divisions. It's about leagues. There's the NFC East. You know, there's those couple teams in the North. And then there's everybody else.
Rooting for the Commanders on Twitter later today.
Yeah. Good luck, commies. That would go crazy. Can you imagine Lane Kiffin firing off for the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Lane Kiffin, in the playoffs, firing off a tweet, good luck, commies. That would live on that website for eternity. That would be incredible.
Start a free agency, transfer to the Star.
I need it now, man. I mean, Lincoln Riley's hilarious. What has Lincoln Riley done to even be
listed? You know what Lincoln Riley kind of screams to me? He'll kind of take the Cliff Kingsbury route. He'll go be an OC in the NFL somewhere, probably have some semblance of success, and then fall upwards.
He should be an OC in college, because as a head coach, he blows.
Chip Kelly thing?
Yeah, he stinks. Come on. Won't let players meet the media. The defenses routinely suck, and it's clearly not just an Alex Grinch issue. It's an everything issue. He's bad. He's bad.
Do you give some semblance of or some benefit of the doubt with the whole don't let players meet the media thing after seeing Caleb get punked by those teenagers? Like, maybe he's trying to protect his guys.
Are you calling Caleb a moron?
I'm just saying.
Breaking news. Tyler Aki thinks Caleb Williams is a moron.
That's not true. But he did get got.
No, I think it's just Lincoln Riley operates a really soft, dumb program. I mean, to go from Oklahoma to USC, and you probably have more resources at USC, and you stink worse on the defensive side of the ball. You brought your quarterback with you.
Yeah.
You can't win. You can't beat Kyle Whittingham. Like, it's the same story. It's the same story as it was at Oklahoma. The difference is when you were in the Big 12, you were the only big fish in a pond of small fish, which included Texas, because they weren't back yet.
No.
And then you go to USC, and you thought you were the big fish in the Pac-12. You're not. Oregon is. Now you're in the Big 10. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. Miguel's in Aurora. What's up, Miguel?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on?
Hey, I was just listening to you guys, and it's not just you guys. It's a lot of Chicago radio and also Bears fans, like, on Twitter and whatnot. And it just really, really bothers me how you guys always say how much of a better situation the Bears are than the Raiders. And I'm not saying we're trying to, you know, we will get Ben Johnson, but I really don't see, that, like, your arguments. You said earlier how great Bo Nix was, and you guys even hyped up Bo Nix, but, you know, said Jordan Love didn't look great. Like, come on. Like, Bo Nix is the argument, and the division, like, your division is just as hard. Poles is, like, on a one-year deal. You don't know what your future is. Like, literally, your only argument is Caleb, right? And I just really don't, you know, I want to argue how
okay, Miguel, what makes the Raider job better?
Well, we're giving Ben Johnson what he wants. He wants his own GM, a clean slate, you know, have a say-so.
How do you know he wants his own GM?
That's what, you know, all the reports are saying. And I don't think the Raiders fired. Telesco just drafted a rookie All-Pro, and he got fired. I don't think that was a coincidence whatsoever, and Bears are doing the opposite. They kept Poles, who's what, like on a one-year deal. And I just don't think that's, you know,
okay,
coincidence.
Miguel, we can do the reporting game on Ben Johnson wanting his own GM. We can also do the reporting game on Ben Johnson would excitedly work with Ryan Poles. Like, both things have been reported.
And I still don't see how Poles, like, I don't think the Raiders would, like I said, fire Telesco for no reason, just because, you know, for, like, Tom Brady didn't like him or whatnot. And,
listen, that's fine, but this is their attempt to try to get Ben Johnson.
Okay, and just one more thing that if you guys can answer this, and I'm open to it or whatever, but, like, You guys think Ben Johnson is coming to Chicago, and that's cool. But why would the Bears still interview, like, you know, 20 candidates, try to trade for Tomlin? If they got any indication that Ben Johnson was coming, why would they do all that?
But, okay, here's the thing about it, Miguel. We don't know when they called the Steelers. They may have called the Steelers the day after the season ended when they didn't know if they were getting Ben Johnson, before they even interviewed Ben Johnson.
Okay. And just the last thing then is the division, right? Like, would you guys really want a coach that's going to be scared? Like, hey, I don't want to play, you know, Jordan Love. I don't want to play, you know,
I have an issue with how you're framing it. I don't think it's an issue of fear. I don't. I think it's just reality. Is your pathway going to be easier in a division where there's quarterback uncertainty with Minnesota and they lack draft picks and they have a billion free agents and they don't have the money to re-sign everybody and also acquire free agents with a Packer team that spent $55 million on Jordan Love, who doesn't look worth $55 million, and you get to neuter the team that you're coming from by not being their offensive coordinator, with the added bonus of being the offensive coordinator of their division rival, plus having a quarterback in place, versus go to the AFC West with Sean Payton, Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, Bo Nix, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, no quarterback on the team you're taking over, no draft pick to acquire a quarterback, zero quarterbacks that are serious available via free agency or trade. The idea you're probably going to have to tank the first year to get a pick where you can potentially take an Arch Manning, if Arch Manning's good enough to be worth that pick. What's the better avenue? Really? I explain where I'm wrong.
Well, Bo Nix, for sure, you're wrong. You guys keep hopping to Bo Nix. Bo Nix is not scaring anybody, especially not
he beat Johnson your ass. I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, what do you want? Raider fan, he beat your ass.
Come on. This is the first year that Denver even beat the Las Vegas Raiders, who were clearly tanking.
They're
like
a playoff team.
Literally, AP and
Miguel, I don't know.
Joe Burrow and the Bengals for the playoffs.
A rookie quarterback throws for 3,700 yards, 29 touchdowns, 12 picks, 93.3 passer rating. Yeah, he wasn't very good. You're right.
Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. Denver is better than Cincinnati and Joe Burrow.
What team made the playoffs this year?
Come on. That's your argument that they made the playoffs, but they had a terrible defense in Cincinnati. But anyways, we can do this all day, but that's what I'm saying. Like, Bears.
Well, no, we can't
not,
do it
like,
all day because if you're one, we got to take a break, and two, if you're just going to operate with Bo Nix sucks because I say so, well, then we can't have a real conversation about it. He had 3,700 yards, 29 touchdowns, and 12 picks as a rookie, and went to the playoffs. It's not his fault he had to go to Buffalo, and their defense got their head caved in by the guy who probably could win MVP. What do you want? This idea we right. just Bo Nix sucks. I said so. All he throws is screen passes. Well, no, that neither of those things are true.
No, I'm not saying he's like, I'm saying he's not scaring anyone. Like he.
Okay, who are you going to get that's better? Who is Vegas going to get that's better?
Who's the guy that's going to scare people for Vegas?
I don't know. That's above my pay grade. I don't know, but I'm sure there's a plan. I'm sure they're just not coming in with nothing. Like, hey, we're gonna for sure, you know, get Aiden O'Connell out there next year. Like, we don't know.
All right, thanks, Miguel. Appreciate the phone call. You have a good one.
Have a good weekend.
That's Miguel and Aurora. All right, when we come back, we got to get to our picks for the weekend. We've got NFL, we've got college, the national championship. All that's coming up next, Chicago's College Tailgate.
Shay and Tyler. Tyler. Chicago's College Tailgate returns in a flash on ESPN Chicago. Now back to the show. Chicago's College Tailgate has it all with Shay and Tyler on ESPN Chicago.
All right, every show around this time, we give you the picks for the weekend of college football, but only one college football game. So we're also going to give you some NFL picks as well. And we have made an executive decision during the break. Not only are you going to get a college football parlay, but we're going to put together an NFL parlay as well. So Potsy, show us the way.
All right, guys, we got two NFL games today. We'll start in Kansas City. We got the Texans versus the Chiefs. Chiefs are getting 8.5 points here. A lot of points.
Giving 8.5.
Getting.
Giving.
Did I say getting?
You said getting twice.
Oh, okay, yeah. My bad,
the Chiefs are giving 8.5 points.
I do that a lot, I feel like, too. I do that a couple times.
It's Houston for me. Just the pass rush against Kansas City's tackles. Mahomes has taken more sacks this year than any year in his career. I think this is lower scoring. I think this is more of a rock fight. The last time these two teams played, the point spread was 3.5, and Houston lost by 8. Now it's 8.5. Have we really shifted 5 points of value on both these teams? I don't think so. I'm going to take the points with Houston.
I'm going to be on the other side here. I like Kansas City. I feel like the offense ramped up over those final 3 weeks as well. Give me Kansas City in a blowout win.
I'm also going to go Kansas City. I mean, we just learn every single year. You cannot bet against Patrick Mahomes. I know it's a lot of points here, but...
Oh, that's not true. When north of a touchdown, he covers at about a 36% clip.
Regular season.
We are in the playoffs now, though. I got the
He's
Chiefs
got the worst
big.
ATS record of any quarterback since 2022 when laying north of a touchdown.
But in the playoffs, he's been different.
But he was a dog all three games last year.
Not against Miami. Not against Miami.
That's the only one, though.
Them.
It's the only one.
I got the Chiefs. Chiefs big.
Chiefs
all
kingdom,
right.
Potsy.
Second game. Shay, looking at you. Your Detroit Lions versus Washington Commanders. Lions, 8.5.
Yeah, the number's coming down a little bit. Where are you seeing an 8.5?
I'm on ESPN. 8.5.
Okay, I've seen 9s, 9.5s. I've seen numbers all over the place. I'm laying the points with the Lions anyway. The Commanders are the team the Lions hope they are, the Lions are the team the Commanders hope that they are next year. Philosophies are the same. They want to control the ball. They want long scoring drives. They're going to go on fourth down. I think the Lions are more forged in it and just more talented. And if they get up big and they put the Commanders in a game where they got to chase points, Washington's dead. I'm going to lay the points.
Washington will be very lucky if they are the Lions or if they're building up to the Lions because...
they got a lot of work to do up front.
Well, talk about the luck run they're on, too. Generational run of luck. Because, like, it's one thing to go for it on fourth down and, like, convert it a high clip on fourth down. That feels more sustainable than Hail Mary, bank in a field goal. Start quarterback on the other side gets injured while they're up 3 touchdowns. Like, that doesn't feel
also
sustainable for next year.
Do you know their conversion rate on fourth down this year?
What is it?
90%.
Yeah, you're not going to do that. But if you can, but that, like, if they're in that neighborhood again next year, I could believe that. If you're converting a Hail Mary, banking in a game-winning field goal, and having a team lose its starting quarterback in a game where that said team is up 3 touchdowns on, like, that's not happening. It's not happening again. So with all that said, I do think, I'm not saying the Commanders are a better team than Detroit, but I think the matchup is really bad, and I think this is probably the only team I would say that this is a terrible matchup for them. I'm gonna take Washington with the points, maybe on a backdoor. But I think this is going to be close because I think it's just going to be one of those games that's kind of shot for shot.
I got the Lions in this one. I got them covering, winning by 2+ touchdowns here. The Commanders, their season of luck is just going to come to an end. What is it, like 6-7?
I hope I'm wrong.
6-7 games. They've
I hope
won
this
on the
team
final drive, one possession.
Stomped.
Yeah. Luck's going to end here. I
don't think I've ever rooted for a division rival harder than the Detroit Lions tonight. Because I need to see this team go away. I'm done with it.
I'm with you.
Like, for everyone wants to point to the Chiefs and say, I want that team to go. I want Washington out of this thing way more than I want to see the Chiefs out of this thing.
Look, man, I also just, when you see a point spread like this in a division round playoff game, and I know it's true of Houston and Kansas City too, the book is telling you one of these teams ain't like the other.
Yeah. What's next, Potsy?
All right, moving on to Sunday. We got a 2 p.m. game, Eagles-Rams. Eagles, 6.5. What are we doing?
I'm going with the Rams. I understand the weather concerns, but the Rams, to me, I've watched them quite a bit this year. Up front, they are physical. They do run the ball well with Kyren Williams. That's not to say that the Eagles don't. It's just to say I think the snow impacts the defense more than anything. And the Eagles lost their green dot for the year. N'Kobe Dean, gone. injured. That's not, he's not their best linebacker. He's not their best defensive player, but he is the leader on the communication side of the ball. That's a problem. Everything changes when you lose your green dot. I don't think the Eagles defense will suddenly be bad, but it's hard to continue to be like the best defense we've seen all year when your green dot goes down. I'm going to take the Rams to cover.
I do think that, I mean, they did recover all right, even after N'Kobe Dean goes out of the Green Bay game. I think last week was a shake the rust off type of game for Jalen Hurts. I think you see this Philly offense kind of hum, and especially in the snow. Like, snow people, oh, snow, so it's going to go under. No, usually snow means going over. The snowver, yeah. If you will.
And snow, if it is snow, makes running the ball a whole heck of a lot more fun, and I think both teams can feast on that.
Yeah, but I like Philly in this game. I think that this is a return for the Philly offense, and I think the offensive line for Philly is just a different test for the Rams.
Fly, Eagles, fly. On the road to victory. Sing it with me, Aki. We got the
fly, Eagles, baby.
We got the birds. I think this will be a close game, though. It's going to be kind of like what the Eagles had last game, where it gets close, and then at the end, the Eagles just kind of run away, and they'll end up covering. I got the birds here. I mean, with the bad weather, it's just, can you really trust Matthew Stafford on the road? In the Eagles, they got Hurts and Saquon with that bad weather game. I'm very confident in the Eagles in this game. Last game for the NFL, game of the week, Ravens, Bills. Bills are at home. They are 1.5-point favorites. This is going to be a
The Bills are favorites now?
Yes. Oh, no, Baltimore. I'm
Baltimore's
sorry.
Baltimore's a favorite.
Patsy, come on.
That's on me.
You're scaring Shea over here.
Baltimore, Buffalo, I got it.
I've said if I'm wrong about it this time, and if they pull off the victory on the road, I will never say this nickname again. But until I see it happen, little game Lamar.
Clip it.
He just...
Clip it.
I won't... No, I will not. I will not say it again. If Baltimore goes in there and wins, and honestly, they should. Like, if this one, you can't go in and win this game with Derrick Henry in the cold in Buffalo, if there were a player ever built to go win this game, it's Derrick Henry. If you can't go win this one, then you're little game Lamar forever. Forever. If you do, I'll never say it again. I'm picking Buffalo.
Bring that back for next
Clipped
year.
It. Clipped
you know what?
It.
Let's put a reminder in our phone for this time next year.
Little game Lamar.
I am going to go with Buffalo as well. Because for as much of an issue as Derrick Henry is, I think equally on the other side, Josh Allen can be that same problem. And I trust him to throw the football a little bit more. So I'm going to go with the Bills as well in this game.
I hate that Buffalo's not favored in this game. I feel like this is a game where they should be favored. Ravens, they're the better team. You know, you got the MVP on one side, but overall, Ravens are the better team. I'm going to go Baltimore here. All right, fellas, what do we got? What do we got? Moving over college football, Ohio State,
what do we got?
Notre Dame. I had to switch the tab over here. We got the Buckeyes versus the Irish. Buckeyes are getting 8.5. What are we doing? We'll do the total two after this.
I think the number's ridiculous. It's going to be a low-scoring game. It's so many points for a Notre Dame defense that's great. And any metric you look at says this should not be anywhere close to that number. I think Ohio State's overrated in the market. I'll take Notre Dame in the points.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of points. Mm-hmm. Too many points. I'm going to go with Notre Dame as well. I'm with you. I think it's going to be like a weird, it's just going to be like a back and forth kind of game. Not necessarily in a high scoring fashion. Like, I think the punting could go back and forth as well. But I'm going to go with the Fighting Irish. Plus, I think Notre Dame wins, or that Ohio State wins the game, though.
Yeah, I'm with you, Aki. I think the Buckeyes win the game, but I'm on the under in this game in general. So I think if the under hits, the Irish will cover. So I got the Irish to cover the points, but I do have the Buckeyes to win. That total, by the way, is 45.5, guys. What are you doing?
I'm going under. It's a rock fight.
I'm under, yeah.
I'm under. It's a very, very low number, but I'm going to go with the under. I just think it's going to be like a 21-17 game.
First of 21s.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Probably. All right, those are the picks. When we come back, we've got not one, but two parlays for you.
Chicago's College Tailgate returns in a flash on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's football game day starts with Chicago's College Tailgate. From red shirts to mascots to your school's alma mater, Chicago's College Tailgate has it all. Now back to the show with Shay and Tyler on ESPN Chicago.
All right, rapid fire on the parlay here. We've got not one, but two. We're going to get you an NFL one as well as a college football national championship one. Let's start in the NFL. Shay, where are you going?
I'm going to take the under in Lions Commanders. It's just 55 and a half points. What is this, the Big 12? You get one drive to stall out, and you're going under. And these two teams love to go for it on fourth down. If I can get a couple misses on fourth down, this game cruises under. I mean, yeah, it's an automatic play at a number like that.
Let's juice this. It's not a super juice, but let's do the Buffalo Bills on the Moo line. I'm going to take Buffalo Bills plus 104.
I'm going to take a total under here. Team total Texans at 15 and a half. I'm taking that under.
Oh, that's grotesque.
You're getting 16 and a half.
Love
on
it.
FanDuel
Love
right
it.
Now.
Take it.
So you
under,
round all those
16
up.
And a half.
You got,
that's not good for my Texans money line play.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
16-10. Go.
That's great. That's the energy I need. That's the energy I need.
I mean, I'm not rooting
for
it. Oh,
man, the slander that I will throw on Twitter.com today. If it's 16-10 final and a Patrick Mahomes loss, this bum, he can't even beat C.J. Stroud at home.
You're going to be insufferable. All right, national championship game. Lead us off, Shay.
I will take Ohio State. Team total under 27 and a half. That's a ridiculously high number.
All right. I've been doing a lot of debating back and forth which quarterback I'm going to take there under on passing yards. But I am going to go Will Howard under 245 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Irish fan. We're scripting an Irish win here, Potsy.
I'm going to go another Buckeyes player. I'm going to go with Travion Henderson under 11.5 rushing attempts.
We are scripting a Buckeye victor, Irish victory, folks.
Oh, boy.
We are scripting one here.
We might as
here.
Well just put plus 8.5 in. Right? Like, none of this is happening if 8.5
It all correlates with the 8.5. We should just throw it in.
All right. So we'll throw that in. I like this. I like where our heads are at here. I can't find the rushing attempts, Potsy.
I got it.
You got it? Okay.
On ESPN Bet, the best sports book.
All right. What kind of odds are we getting on this?
Give me 1 second to throw in the spread. Oh, brutal. Rush attempts can't be put in an SGP, Potsy.
Right,
you got to go someplace
new pick,
else.
New pick.
All right.
On the spot.
Yeah, let's go Leonard passing yards under.
All right, we're just going to double them up on the passing yards unders.
Yep.
At this point, we might as well put the under in, too. that gets you 5-1. All right, plus 500. You got to boost with that, too. Gets you to 6.5-1.
And add the under. Let's do it. Let's just add. Let's go
let's
big.
Let's go crazy.
The way we're scripting this,
what
is all correlates.
Five legger now? We got five legs?
Five legs plus five 525 legs. For me.
I got 768 with a little boost here.
Well, that's great.
Boom. All right. That's going to do it for us. We'll talk to you next week.
Chicago's College Tailgate returns in a flash on ESPN Chicago.